Flying backwards over the Earth's surface, thick golden letters rise over the curve of the planet and form the word Universal in front of the lit-up continents. Beneath it, in smaller letters, a Comcast company. Universal Pictures presents a EuropaCorp production in co-production with TF1 Films Production, with the participation of Canal Plus, Cine Plus, and TF1. A moving translucent cell in blue liquid. Scarlett Johansson. The cell splits in two, the centers different shades of pink. Morgan Freeman. The cells divide again and again until they fill the space they're floating in, bumping up against each other. Choi Min Sik, Amar Wakid. Lucy. A long-haired, human-looking ape crouches in a shallow stream and drinks quickly with its hand. It pauses and straightens up, listening alertly, then drinks again.
Life was given to us a billion years ago. What have we done with it?
A bustling city in Taiwan. Speeded up footage of busy roads, people on escalators, chefs in a kitchen, trains and traffic. Outside, a young woman with blonde hair daydreams. A bearded man in sunglasses and a cowboy hat snaps his fingers.
Lucy, it's easy as pie. In and out, all done and dusted.
And why don't you do it yourself?
The last thing the guy's expecting is a total 10 turning up to deliver the case. He'll blow his mind, come on.
What's in it?
Sweet. Don't get paranoid on me, all right? You trust me, don't you?
The man and Lucy down shots in a hectic, lively nightclub. Then back in the city.
Richard, I really do like you, but I have to take care of myself right now. I gotta concentrate on so many things.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm going home because I have exams on Monday. I have to shower and I have to study, okay?
You know what? The other day I was in this museum and you know what I found out?
What?
The first ever woman was named Lucy.
An ape sitting in a museum display case.
Is that supposed to make me feel better?
Yeah. No.
I'll call you, okay?
Okay. I'll be honest with you. I can't deliver the case myself. I had a little falling out with the guy. It's nothing major, but if it's you, problem solved. You walk in there, you go up to the reception, you ask for Mr. Jiang to come down. He comes down, he takes the case, you flash him your prettiest smile, and bounce.
A mouse approaches a trap.
Look, you can even see the reception from here. Come on.
What's in the case?
I don't know, it's just some paperwork.
Yeah, I'll see it then.
It's locked, and only Mr. Jiang has the code. I'm just a delivery boy.
Do you get paid to do this?
Yeah, kind of.
Like, how much?
Okay, we are negotiating now, or...
No. How much do you get paid? I want to know how much.
$1,000.
You get paid $1,000 for delivering paperwork? Really?
I don't know. It takes me 10 minutes, and they pay me a grand, and the rest is none of my business.
Well, it's none of my business either, I'll tell you now.
Listen.
What?
We split it down the middle. That's 500 for you and 500 for me.
Richard, I will call you.
Listen, it's the third time this week I'm showing up in the same hotel with the same cowboy hat.
Problem solved. Go. I'll wait for you. Go.
Lucy, honey, I've done this 12 times. It's paperwork. It's probably just some designs they switch so they can copy them. That's how it works in this country. Even my Stetson was made here. Look. It says so on the label, made in Taiwan.
So long, cowboy with the fake stick.
Baby, please.
Richard, I gotta go. What the hell are you doing?
I'm sorry.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm so sorry. I really need your help.
Stop it. Take this off me right now.
I can't.
Take this off me right
now.
Mr.
Chang is the only one who has the key.
No.
All you have to do is go into the hotel and ask for him at the reception.
No, take it off me right now.
I'm so sorry. I really have no choice. The sooner you'll go in, the sooner you'll be back out.
I can't believe you did this to me.
I'll be right here. You have my word.
Your word isn't worth shit.
It's worth $500 up front.
You're an asshole.
And you're wonderful, huh?
She heads for the hotel with the case handcuffed to her wrist. A brief image of cheetahs watching gazelles in shimmering heat. Lucy enters the building wearing a short patterned red miniskirt and cropped black jacket. She walks across the large lobby and approaches the front desk.
Miss, may I help you?
Yes. I'm here for, Mr. Jane.
Yes.
The cheetah stalks its prey. Lucy waits nervously, and a man watches from the door.
Who should I say is here?
Richard? I'm not Richard Sim. Richard sent me.
张先生你好, 这柜台有位女士要找您。 What is your name?
No, Richard. Richard's, he's just looking for a place to park.
他说他是跟Richard一起来的。
Richard loiters outside.
Mr. Jang still wants to know your name.
Lucy looks worried.
Lucy?
Lucy what?
Just Lucy. If he could be quick, because I have to...
Just a second while I translate. 张先生, 他说他叫做Lucy. 他只愿意告诉我这么多而已。好的。 Mr. Jang is on his way. Stay right here.
Can I sit?
Mr. Jang said you need to stay right here. I think it's better if you stay right here. Excuse me. Regent Hotel?
The cheetah stalks through open space. In the hotel, five hard-looking Chinese men in long black coats over shirts and ties walk towards Lucy. Two cheetahs walk side by side. A small, vulnerable gazelle looks up. Lucy looks round as Richard is shot outside.
No!
Richard slides down the glass, smearing it with blood. The cheetah chases the gazelle as the men grab Lucy. One of them puts a roll of notes on the desk and the receptionist ducks down. The men drag Lucy into a lift and the cheetah kills its prey, walking away with it in its mouth. Lucy's half escorted, half carried down a hotel corridor. A chambermaid steps out but quickly goes again. A bodyguard standing outside a door lets the men with Lucy into a luxury hotel suite. They push her roughly against a wall and disperse throughout the suite. Lucy notices twitching, blood-splattered legs poking out of a doorway and retches. Following orders, two henchmen grab her arms and sit her roughly in a chair. She looks around fearfully as one man offers her a folded handkerchief. Lucy takes it and dabs her mouth with it. Wearing a shiny grey suit, Mr. Jang casually steps over two blood-spattered corpses and approaches Lucy, studying her. He wears plastic safety glasses and his face is smeared with blood. He takes the glasses off with bloody hands and throws them down. A man pours bottled water for Jang to wash his hands in.
Do you speak English?
Jang stares at her.
También hablo poco español.
He cleans his hands and shakes them off on the floor.
Lucy, yes, I'm Lucy. This has just been a terrible mistake. I'm just supposed to deliver this case. If you lost the key, you don't have to chop off my hand. You can just cut the chain, okay? Please. I'm begging you, please. No, no, no!
Two henchmen pick Lucy up and put her in a chair at the table. Jang sits down opposite her and calmly reaches for the phone. He turns it round to face him and dials a number.
Hello, miss. I speak English. I translate for Mr. Jang.
Lucy leans tearfully towards the phone and tries to compose herself.
Please tell him that I haven't done anything. I don't know anything. It's all just a big mistake, okay? Please, please tell him that.
Yes, okay, okay. Hold on. 자기는 아무것도 안 했고 이건 다 오해랍니다.
Jang looks at her.
가방 안에 뭐가 들어있는지 아냐고 물어봐.
Mr. Jang wants to know what's in the case.
No, I don't know what's in the case. Do you speak English or don't you speak English?
Yes, I do. I studied 1 year at International High School in New York.
Okay. Richard gave me the case to give to you. That's all I know. Okay, please tell him that.
자기는 아무것도 모르고 그저 리차드가 가방을 호텔까지 가져가라고 했답니다.
Jang looks around the table. He picks up a pen and writes the number 140 on a sheet of hotel paper.
야, 이거 가방 여는 비밀번호라고 얘기해. 야, 가방 조심해라! 이거 터질지도 모른다!
Jang gets up and walks out. He stands behind the door while plastic shields are handed out.
He gave me a paper with numbers written on it. I don't... What is this?
It's the code to open the case.
Lucy looks at the henchmen standing behind their shields, watching her.
What's really in here?
Nothing dangerous.
So why won't he open it himself?
형님께서 직접 안 열어보시냐고 물어보는데요.
야, 나 그 리차드 그 새끼 못 믿어.
He doesn't trust Mr. Richard.
I don't trust Richard either. I've only dated him for a week.
리처드를 못 믿게 됩니다.
야, 장난 아니야. 어? 빨리 가방 열려라!
Okay, okay, okay.
Mr. Jang insists that you open the case.
Okay, okay. Please, God, help me.
Lucy puts the case on the table.
야, 빨리 연락을. 나 오늘 바빠.
He wants you to hurry up. Mr. Jang has other things to do.
The henchmen stand behind the plastic riot shields, pointing guns at Lucy while she turns the lock to 140. Jang smokes behind the door. When she opens the latches, Jang's main man, who's standing outside the room with him, takes a further step back. Lucy opens the case. Jang frowns, surprised.
야, 그 가방 안에 뭐가 들었는지 확인해보라 그래.
Can you describe the contents of the case?
It's four plastic pouches filled with a blue powder, like maybe a purple powder. I don't know, it looks gross.
투명 비닐봉지 4개 안에 파란색인지 보라색 가루가 들어있답니다.
야, 총 내려! 어?
장 smiles and goes back into the room, telling everyone to relax. He walks up to the table and spins the open case round. He looks down at the four neatly arranged packages of blue crystals.
봉쟁이 새끼 데려와.
several of his men walk away and open some double doors. Jang asks for a knife and cuts one of the packages open. He takes a red straw and dips it into the small blue crystals, twisting it to make sure some go inside. Jang puts his finger on top of the straw to hold the crystals in and transfers them onto a silver tray. The henchmen bring out a disheveled Western man in a black vest and put him in a chair. He stares blankly at Lucy.
엄마, 조용해, 엄마. 야, 잡아.
They put the red straw in the man's hand and sit him up, encouraging him to snort the crystals.
조심해, 엄마. 그래. 야.
They watch with tense anticipation as the man puts the straw to his nose and snorts a couple of small blue crystals. He reacts immediately and leans right back in his chair with his eyes rolled up and his mouth wide open. He returns to normal and laughs, staring at Lucy through wild, drugged eyes. The henchmen chuckle, but Jang's not amused.
이게 웃겨? 빨리 치워, 이 새끼들아. 빨리 치워!
Jang shoots the man dead and tells his guards to clear the body away. Jang leans on the table and looks down at Lucy. 와. Lucy looks up at him and he nods.
내가 너한테 일거리 하나 줄게.
Mr. Jang wants to offer you a job.
If life starts approximately a billion years ago, we will have to wait 400,000 years to see the aberration of the first nerve cells. This is where life as we know it begins. Brains in formation of only a few milligrams. It's not possible to determine any sign of intelligence yet. It acts more as a reflex. One neuron, you're alive. Two neurons, you're moving. And with movement, interesting things begin to happen.
Animals, hunting and mating rituals.
Animal life on Earth goes back millions of years. Yet most species only use 3 to 5% of its cerebral capacity. But it isn't until we reached human beings at the top of the animal chain that we finally see a species use more of its cerebral capacity.
A caveman.
10% may not seem like much, but it's a lot if you look at all we've done with it.
From fighter jets to huge road junctions in a city, women soldiers marching, robots working, the stock exchange, printing money, a space rocket launching, satellites in space. A nuclear blast, a massive dam, wind farms, performers and ballet dancers, a mass prayer in Mecca, the paintings of the Sistine Chapel, the pyramids and industrial farming. The caveman gets a spark from his flint and lights a fire. In the lecture hall.
Now let's discuss a special case. The only living being that uses its brain better than us, the dolphin. It is estimated that this incredible animal uses up to 20% of its cerebral capacity. In particular, this allows it to have an echolocation system that is more efficient than any sonar invented by mankind. But the dolphin did not invent the sonar. It developed it naturally. And this is the crucial part of our philosophical reflection we have today. Can we therefore conclude that humans are concerned more with having than being?
Lucy opens an eye. She's lying face down on a bed in a large room of Jang's hotel suite, half covered with a sheet. She slowly and painfully pushes herself up. She moves the sheet and stares in shock at a blood-stained bandage tied around her waist. She looks over at some medical apparatus on a metal tray on the bedside table. The door opens, and Jang's man comes in.
야, 오다니코 뭐 하냐, 여지껏. 어? 여기 있구만 이거. 야, 빨리빨리 입어.
He throws Lucy some trousers. The door opens and Lucy's pushed into a large open room where Jang's sitting on a sofa drinking. She looks up at a dragon skull on the ceiling with glowing red eyes.
Lucy.
What did you do to my stomach?
Nothing. Just a little horizontal slit. It's very well done. And, oh, you're fine within a month. The scar is practically invisible, so you better show your tummy off on the beach next summer.
I don't care about the scar.
Is it why we opened you up? Yeah. Rest assured, we didn't harvest your organs or anything. We merely slipped a little package into your lower tummy. It's a new drug that kids in Europe are going to love. Believe me.
What is it?
Well, the scientific term is CPH4. Which is not very sexy from a sales point of view. So we're still working on something with a bit more pop. Any suggestions? Ah, excuse me. Welcome, come on in. Lovely, oops.
Three men.
Splendid. Whoop.
Marvellous.
Lovely. No. How are you?
Very good, mate.
Okay. Right, first of all, many thanks for taking part in this enterprise, which I'm sure will go off flawlessly. These lovely passports and tickets will enable you to return home in the next 24 hours. Now, upon arrival, you will be taken in hand by our people so that we might recover our merchandise, and you might rediscover the freedom which you so richly deserve. I'm sure I don't need to remind you, but for any of those who may be tempted to warn
or turn themselves in to the authorities. We have the names and addresses of the families of every one of you, down to the most distant cousins. So we rely, therefore, on your complete discretion. Good. Anyway, gentlemen, madam, allow me to be the first to wish you bon voyage.
Black hoods are put over the men and they're ushered out.
Oops. Lovely.
You gonna sell this?
I'm afraid it's our business model.
For primitive beings like us, life seems to have only one single purpose, gaining time. And it is going through time seems to be also the only real purpose of each of the cells in our bodies. To achieve that aim, the mass of the cells that make up earthworms and human beings has only two solutions, be immortal or to reproduce. If its habitat is not sufficiently favorable or nurturing.
Buildings collapse and violent storms rage.
The cell will choose immortality. In other words, self-sufficiency and self-management. On the other hand, if the habitat is favorable,
peaceful jungles and coastlines,
they will choose to reproduce.
A variety of mating animals, lions, rhinos, birds, frogs, and humans in a car above the city.
That way, when they die, they hand down essential information and knowledge to the next cell, which hands it down to the next cell, and so on.
Animals being born, a piglet, human, buffalo, calf, and a young foal struggling to stand up.
Thus, knowledge and learning are handed down through time.
To wait, just play for time. You'll have time to think it through on the plane. Just take the flight. Take the flight. Get out of here. Okay, that's the main thing right now. Just save time. Don't try anything yet. Keep your cool. You're alive. You're alive. You're alive. That's all that matters. Just wait. Save time. Save time.
Lucy wakes up in a large cell with two men standing over her. One of them chains her to the wall by her wrists while the other touches her face.
你看呀,
The second, heavily tattooed man looks down at her white top, then puts his hand down it, feeling her cleavage and breasts.
走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走了。走
not in the mood.
婊子打你啊!
The tattooed man holds up his hand and sucks his finger, then hits Lucy hard. She falls to the floor, and he kicks her violently in the stomach until the other man drags him out and shuts the door. Lucy lies on the floor, struggling for breath. Fresh blood seeps over the bandage around her waist. She puts her fingers under it, then pulls them out, soaked in blood. Flashbacks to the drug user who tested the blue crystals. Lucy starts to convulse. Traveling through her wound and into her body, where the released blue crystals are firing off in all directions inside her. Lucy flips onto her back as the little crystals travel at speed through her body, glowing white and leaving small trails of blue vapor in their wake. Lucy convulses so violently she starts to climb the wall. Literally defying gravity, she shuffles and rolls up the wall and onto the ceiling. Still attached to the chain, she stops under one of the lights, which sparks when she touches it. The activated crystals flare and course through her body. Lucy twitches and shakes, using the chain to pull herself down off the ceiling and lying horizontally in midair. She gets back to the floor and slides over to the wall. Lucy stands and runs straight into the wall. 20%.
Let's imagine for a few moments what our life would be like if we could access, let's say, 20% of our brain's capacity. This first stage would give us access to and control of our own body.
Sir?
Yes?
Has it been proved scientifically?
Well, for the moment, it's just hypothesis, I confess. But if you think about it, it's troubling to realize that the Greeks, the Egyptians, and the Indians had notion of cells centuries before the invention of the microscope. And what to say about Darwin, whom everybody took for a fool when he put forth his theory of evolution? It's up to us to push the rules and laws and go from evolution to revolution. 100 billion neurons per human, of which only 15% are activated. There are more connections in the human body than there are stars in the galaxy. We possess a gigantic network of information to which we have almost no access.
Sir?
Yes.
And what would be the next stage?
Well, the next stage would probably be control of other people. But for that, we would need to access at least 40% of our brain's capacity. After control of ourselves and others, would come control of matter. But now we're entering into the realm of science fiction, and we don't know any more than a dog who watches the moon.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes.
But what would happen if, for some reason, we ignore somebody unlocked 100% of the cerebral capacity?
100%?
Yes.
I have no idea.
Lucy opens her eyes, which are now the same blue as the crystals. Lying on the floor of the large cell, she gets up suddenly and sits down on a chair against the wall. Sitting bolt upright and still, she stares at a table and chair in the center of the room. The bald man who chained her to the walls comes in and smirks at her. He checks behind him and closes the cell door, locking it. Lucy stays calm and still, watching the man as he walks over to stand by the table, spinning the keys in his hand. She opens her legs wide and smiles. Surprised, the man puts the keys down on the table. He takes a gun out of his trousers and puts it on the table as well. He walks towards Lucy, undoing his belt. Lucy looks up at him as he stands in front of her and reaches down between her legs. In rapid movements, she throws the man across the room and uses his belt to pull the table towards her, taking the gun and keys. Lucy comes out of the cell and strides down a basement corridor. Four men sit at a table.
Hey!
She shoots them all in rapid succession, then sits at the table and starts hungrily eating the food. She downs a glass of water and slams it on the table, then looks casually at a red blood stain on her shoulder. Lucy sticks her fingers into the wound and pulls out a bullet. She examines it, then drops it into the empty glass. She stands up and takes a large assault weapon out of a cupboard. Lucy puts a hold all on the table and drops the men's guns into it along with a knife, which she also finds. She picks up a light denim jacket and puts it on, then walks out with the bag and weapons. At night, she walks through a factory with the holdall over her shoulder, passing furnaces that throw out sparks. Steam rises up out of the ground and Lucy walks through it towards a lit passage. Two cab drivers.
Hey, speak English?
No.
You speak English?
Yes.
Take me to the hospital now.
Hospital.
The driver, Lucy shot, calls out, "My leg." Flying over the city. In the cab, the driver watches Lucy in his rearview mirror as she stares out of the window. When he pulls up at some lights, Lucy watches a woman across the street on a payphone. She she watches and listens to people talking outside a shop down the street. Lucy looks startled. She glances at the driver, who looks warily over his shoulder at her. They pull up outside the hospital. Lucy attaches a silencer.
Hospital!
Wait for me.
Lucy walks through the hospital, effortlessly translating the Taiwanese signs, Operation Radiology. She holds the gun casually at her side as she crosses a large waiting area and goes through some glass double doors. She glances over her shoulder as she walks down the corridor and through another set of doors. Lucy walks down a tiled corridor, stopping to watch a patient being wheeled away in a bed covered with a green surgical sheet. She looks around, then goes through more doors into a theatre where an operation's taking place. She ignores the doctors and walks straight over to the light box.
Miss? Hello? Hey, miss!
I need help, it's urgent.
You cannot be in here. We are operating. Please, get out!
She looks at a brain scan on the wall, then turns and points a gun at the medical team. Lucy picks up a gown and shoots the patient. Lucy rolls the patient off the operating table and puts on the surgical gown.
You wouldn't have been able to save him anyway. The tumor already invaded the cortex on the right side of the spine. Somebody put a bag of drugs in me. I need you to remove it. It's leaking. Do it now.
Right. I'll just administer a local anesthetic.
Don't bother.
Right. Okay. Calm down, please. Put the gun down. I'm just going to examine, okay?
She takes his phone.
Do you mind?
No.
The doctor cuts the bandage around her waist while she dials a number on his mobile.
Mom?
Hey, Lucy. Baby, it's great to hear from you. But what time is it over there?
I don't know, it's night.
Hold on a sec, let me get rid of the other line.
I'm going to have to go inside.
I'm back. You're not partying too much, are you? You promised me you'd look after yourself.
I'm trying to, Mom, I am trying to.
Well, thanks for calling out of the blue like this. Your father's going to be sad he missed you. He isn't home from the gym yet. Usually you call us in the morning.
Mom?
Yes?
I feel everything.
What do you mean, sweetie?
Space. The air.
The doctor cuts her stomach.
The vibrations. The people. I can feel the gravity. I can feel the rotation of the earth. The heat leaving my body. The blood in my veins. I can feel my brain. The deepest parts of my memory.
Sweetie, we have a bad connection. I can't hear you so well. What did you say about memory?
The pain in my mouth. When I had braces, I can remember the feeling of your hand on my forehead when I ran a fever. I remember stroking the cat. It was so soft.
The cat? What cat, honey?
A Siamese with blue eyes and a broken tail.
Sweetie, you can't possibly remember that. You were barely a year old.
I remember the taste of your milk in my mouth. The room. The liquid.
Sweetie, what are you talking about?
I just want to tell you that I love you, Mom and Dad.
Sweetie.
And I want to thank you for the 1,000 kisses that I can still feel on my face. I love you, Mom.
I love you too, sweetie. More than anything in the world.
Lucy ends the call as the doctor pulls the bag of blue crystals out.
How much is left?
500 grams.
And how long will it take my body to eliminate the rest of it?
To answer that, I need to know what it is. May I?
Go ahead. CPH4.
He looks startled.
Tell me about it.
Pregnant women manufacture CPH4 in the 6th week of pregnancy in tiny quantities. For a baby, it packs the power of an atomic bomb. It's what gives the fetus the necessary energy to form all the bones in its body. I'd heard that they tried to make a synthetic version of it. Didn't realize that they'd succeeded. If it really is CPH4, in this quantity, I'm amazed you're still alive.
Not for long.
Lucy stands outside the hospital and looks around, breathing deeply and frowning as she takes everything in. She looks across the street at a tree in front of some colourful flashing neon shop lights. She's able to see the inside of the tree and follow its roots down under the ground. As she looks up at its branches, they glow briefly. Lucy tilts her head as she stares at them. At the hotel suite, Jang's lying back in a chair with headphones on and cucumber slices over his eyes. A tattooed lady kneels beside him, tattooing his arm. The taxi pulls up outside, then Lucy walks down the hotel corridor with a hospital gown billowing out behind her. The tattoo lady continues her work while Jang listens to music. A guard steps out in the corridor and Lucy shoots him. She walks up to the suite's door and shoots through it. She opens the door and enters, walking straight past the dead and dying men she just shot through the door. Lucy carries on through the hotel suite, putting one gun on the side next to a silver bowl of champagne and ice. Jang remains oblivious as she opens the sliding doors to his room and tells the tattooist to leave, which she does quickly and without question. Lucy puts her other gun down and takes off the hospital gown. She sits in front of Jang, who's absorbed by his music. She pulls out the two knives and stabs him through his hands.
Learning's always a painful process. Like when you're little and your bones are growing and you ache all over. Can you believe I can remember the sound of my own bones growing? Like this grinding under the skin? Everything's different now. Like, sounds are music that I can understand. Like fluids. It's funny, I used to be so concerned with who I was and what I wanted to be. And now that I have access to the furthest reaches of my brain, I see things clearly and realize that what makes us us, it's primitive. They're all obstacles. Does that make any sense? Like this pain you're experiencing, it's blocking you from understanding. All you know now is pain. That's all you know, pain. Where are the others? The others carrying the drugs. I need the rest of it. For medicinal purposes.
Sweat pours down Jang's pain-stricken face. Lucy presses her thumbs against his forehead. A golden light glows under them. Little white lights travel fast through Jang's brain, passing many different areas until they find a memory of the men in the hotel suite. One of them clutches a passport with a plane ticket sticking out of it, zooming in on the route, Taipei to Berlin.
Berlin.
Another ticket sticks out of a man's shirt pocket.
Paris.
And another in one of the men's back pocket.
Rome.
Lucy removes her hands from Jang's head.
Thank you for sharing.
She walks away. The Paris skyline at sunset. The lecturer gets out of a car and goes into a hotel.
Oh, evening, Professor.
Bonsoir, Humbert.
Do we have you for dinner tonight?
I'm afraid so. I'm exhausted. Have a good rest. Thank you.
Door.
You scared the shit out of me ringing that bell like some nut bar. I missed you.
They hug.
Me too.
Yeah, you lose your keys or something?
Yeah. Can I borrow your laptop?
Yeah, of course. So I spent all of yesterday on auditions. Awesome. Because I just have you standing around all day. Because I don't give a shit about your time gabbing away in Chinese. Who understands Chinese? I don't understand Chinese. And then they say they're always going to call. And they never do because they don't even take your phone number, you know? Except this one guy. But he's not Chinese. He works at the agency. And he's cute. Oh my God, he's cute. In the, like, the cute and I kind of know it kind of way. Like, he had this thing. Oh my God, and his ass. He's... Let me get started on that. And you are never going to guess where he took me.
Four seasons. Royal suite. And we made love all night.
I'm sorry, I'm talking about myself. What's up? How's Richard?
He's dead.
You guys are crazy. I'm gonna take a shower.
Lucy whizzes through web pages until she finds the professor, Samuel Norman. Samuel sitting in his hotel room when his phone rings.
Yes?
Professor Norman, my name's Lucy. I just read all your research on the human brain. We need to meet.
All of my research? Well, I'm very flattered, young lady, but I find that hard to believe. I must have written no less than...
6,734 pages. I can recite them to you all by heart if you wish.
Are you one of Emily's friends? This sounds like one of her silly jokes. Is she there with you?
No, I'm on my own.
She's on his TV.
Who are you?
I just told you.
Lucy, right? Yes, sorry.
I read your theory on the use of the brain's capacity. It's a little rudimentary, but you're on the right track.
Thank you.
Professor, my cells are reproducing at a phenomenal speed, several million per second. I'm having trouble precisely evaluating the time of my death, but I doubt it'll last more than 24 hours.
What are you talking about?
What I'm saying is that your theory is not a theory. I absorbed a large quantity of synthetic CPH4 that will allow me to use 100% of my cerebral capacity. Right now I'm at 28%. And what she wrote is true. Once the brain reaches 20%, it opens up and expands the rest. There are no more obstacles. They fall away like dominoes. I'm colonizing my own brain.
I don't know what to say. It's true. I've been working on this theory for over 20 years, but it's only ever been hypotheses and research ideas. I never thought anyone would. You can control your own metabolism?
Yes. And I can start to control other people's bodies. Also, I can control magnetic and electric waves. Not all of them, just the most basic. Television.
Telephone. Radio.
The radio and lights flicker.
It's amazing.
I don't feel pain. Fear. Desire. It's like all things that make us human are fading away. It's like the less human I feel, all this knowledge about everything, quantum physics, applied mathematics, the infinite capacity of a cell's nucleus, they're all exploding inside my brain, all this knowledge. I don't know what to do with it.
If you're asking me what to do, why?
Samuel holds the phone to his ear, looking sad and thoughtful.
You know, if you think about the very nature of life, I mean, from the very beginning, the development of the first cell divided into two cells. This whole purpose of life has been to pass on what was learned. There is no higher purpose. So if you're asking me what to do with all this knowledge you're accumulating, I say, pass it on. Just like any simple cell going through time.
Time. Yes, of course. I'll be at your door in 12 hours.
Samuel lowers the phone in a daze. In Taiwan.
You leaving?
Yes.
A printout.
What is this?
A prescription.
Since when did you start writing in Chinese?
Since an hour ago.
Lisa, I don't understand any of this.
Your kidneys aren't functioning efficiently. Your liver's failing you. You need to make some lifestyle changes. Take this medication, work out, eat organic. You'll be okay.
Lucy turns and leaves. Subtitled news reports read, last night at 11 p.m. a woman shot a patient dead. It happened at Tri-Service Hospital. The suspect's 25, blonde, medium height. Police are hunting nationwide. She's armed and dangerous. Wearing a short black dress, Lucy's hair changes from blonde to brown as she walks through the airport. She puts on sunglasses and makes a call. Some men mess about in an office. I've got a weird call from a US citizen in Taiwan. A young woman calling to tip us off about a big drugs ring. The man says, I'll take it.
Hello?
Yes, I have important information about a group of drug traffickers. I need to speak with someone in a position of authority.
Uh-huh. You're very lucky there's no one with more authority in this office than me. But let's start at the beginning.
What is your name?
Listen up, Piero Dolio. Get off your desk, sit in your chair,
pick up the red pen to the left of you and take down everything I say.
Pierre looks down at the red pen on his desk and becomes serious.
There are no cameras. Hurry up. I have no time to waste.
The whiter number, 30%, on a black background. Pierre picks up the pen and sits at his desk.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be sending you the details of three people about to arrive in Europe. Each one is carrying a kilo of drugs. I need you to arrest them and collect the substance. I'll need it for later.
What form are these drugs in? Bars, capsules?
Powder. Hidden in plastic pouches inside their intestines.
Excuse me?
Make sure to be careful when you remove them. The product is very powerful.
A police dog becomes excited by Lucy, but she sends him away.
Believe me.
Got it?
Yeah.
Good. I'm counting on you.
Lucy finishes checking in. Pierre puts the phone down. His colleague asks okay and he nods. A plane lands in Berlin, Germany. At passport control, passengers are vetted and let through. An official looks at a passport photo of one of the drug mules, then spots him in the queue. He bangs on the window and shouts to his colleagues, "That's him! Pick him up!" A group of officials calmly approach the man in the queue. One of them says, "Come with me, please." The man goes quietly with them. One of Jiang's men watches discreetly, then walks away. The second drug mule waits in a queue at passport control in Paris, France. Pierre and his men approach him as he steps up to the window. Pierre says, "Hello, sir, come with us." They take the man's arms and quickly usher him away. Two of Jiang's men watch them walk off. In Rome, Italy, the third drugs mule waits in a queue, unaware he's being watched by officials. The passport control officer tells a woman, "Welcome to Rome." Then the man steps up to his window. An agent approaches him and says, "Good morning, sir. Please follow me. This way." The man starts to go with them, then makes a sudden run for it, trying to navigate around the people in the busy terminal. He's quickly cut off and forced to the floor. The Italian rings Pierre.
Del Rio. Capitano Marco Brezzi.
Thanks for calling me back.
We took delivery of your package.
Thanks very much. I'll send you the paperwork with the transfer.
Bye.
Pierre tells his men, "Okay, we got all three," and they head out.
gentlemen, we are now beginning our descent to Paris Charles de Gaulle.
Lucy sits in first class, typing fast on two laptops. A suited man watches her. The air hostess approaches.
Miss, I have to ask you to put away your computers now.
You should wipe your nose.
Excuse me?
May I have a glass of champagne?
Yes, of course.
The air hostess hurries off with a nosebleed and talks to her colleague, who looks round at Lucy. Lucy keeps working, her fingers moving fast. Then she leans forward and closes both the laptops. She turns to look out of the window as sunlight falls on her face.
Miss, your champagne.
Thank you.
I'm very sorry, but you really need to close your table now.
Sure.
She stares intently at the air steward and he walks away looking unsettled. Lucy raises the glass of champagne.
The knowledge.
A white 40% on a black background. Lucy drinks, then looks at her tooth in the bottom of the glass. A flashback to Samuel's lecture.
If the habitat is not sufficiently favorable or nurturing...
On the plane, Lucy coughs into her hand. She opens her palm and several teeth fall out of it.
The cell will choose immortality.
Lucy rubs the back of her hand and the skin comes off.
In other words, self-sufficiency and self-management.
Her fingernails disintegrate in front of her. The man across the aisle stares at her, then hits himself in the face with his briefcase. The stewards watch as Lucy stands up and starts to fling her arms around.
No, please, please.
She locks herself in the bathroom, throwing one of the stewards back. Her fingers start to disintegrate, with the cells drifting off into the air like fine powder.
Open the door. You really have to go back to the city. Please. We're gonna land soon. Please, open the door.
Lucy's face begins to collapse. Lucy grabs the remaining CPH-4 from her bag and wolfs them down.
Do something, help me, please.
Lucy watches in the mirror as the blue crystals appear on her skin and start moving across her face. She backs into a corner.
Ransom, open the door!
The crystals start devouring her body. Then she explodes in a flash of bright light and sparks.
Miss? Are you okay? Say something!
At the airport, Pierre looks at Lucy's passport and asks, with a scar over the abdomen, a doctor replies, pretty recent, with thread in it. Pierre says, how is she? Fine, she's sleeping. With the shot I gave her, she'll be out all day. Lucy opens an eye, which changes colour every time she blinks. The percentage rises to 50. She sits up in a hospital bed, wearing a blue surgical gown, and clicks her neck. She's able to partially look through the walls of the room she's in. Lucy looks over at her clothes and bag draped over a chair and table. Dazed, she holds up a finger with a pulse monitor attached to it. A nurse walks in, but quickly leaves again. The nurse tells the doctor she's awake. He asks, are you sure? And she says, she's sitting on the bed. Lucy walks out of her room, dressed, and the doctor says, that's her. Pierre asks, you didn't restrain her? And he replies, sure we did.
Miss, don't move.
I need to talk to you alone.
And I need you to put your hands up, please.
Lucy raises a hand, and the 20 or so people around Pierre collapse. He keeps his gun trained on her as she walks towards him. Then all the bullets drop out of it. Lucy walks right up to his outstretched, empty gun and stands in front of it.
Did you get the packets?
Yes.
Where are they?
They're safe. Here, in Paris.
They'll be safer in my hands.
Pierre watches her walk away, then hurries after her, still in shock. The three drug mules are taken to hospital and led inside as one of Jiang's men, Chong Jia, pulls up. A detective tells a colleague, don't leave the car there, park it up. Chong Jia makes a call from his car. In Pierre's car.
You know, as a cop, we see some pretty weird shit. But I have to be honest with you. What you did back there, that freaked me out.
To put everyone to sleep like that.
Do I need to be worried?
No.
Good.
Lucy looks out of the windows at thin streams of coloured light rising up all around her. She runs a hand across them. She uses her fingers to open one out, revealing digits inside it. Pierre watches her.
Do you mind?
No.
She turns on his radio. Zhang walks through an airport with his hands bandaged, talking on the phone to Chongjia outside the hospital.
What's that?
Korean. I'm gonna drive.
Hey! No, this is a police car! You can't! No, this is not possible, lady. This is a police car!
Pierre's moved.
Okay.
Lucy drives. The three drug mules are sitting in a hospital corridor. The detectives usher them into a room.
Sir, excuse me, sir. I need to talk to somebody.
Something like the police.
Look, I'm a German citizen and I demand to see a lawyer.
The detective walks away, saying, I'll check with surgery. A colleague asks him to grab some food and he says, you're a foodaholic. As he heads down the corridor, Chongjia steps out and goes over to the doors, watching him. Chongjia looks around as four more of his men walk in. He opens the doors the drug mules are behind and they go in, shooting all the officials.
Do you always drive like that?
I've never driven before.
Great.
Lucy accelerates through the traffic.
Hey, this one way.
We're late.
Cars veer away from her as she navigates a path through the oncoming traffic. A van driver swerves and his vehicle tips over. Lucy steers the small car along a narrow colonnade, people scattering out of the way in front of her. Pierre holds on.
Hey, I'd rather be late than dead.
We never really die.
She crosses over a street and carries on along the pavement. Pierre gives her a look just before she swerves back onto the road, cars skidding and crashing around her. Lucy drives the wrong way into a tunnel and steers through the approaching traffic, with cars flashing the lights and honking at her. They come out the other end and she makes a sharp turn. A nearby car hits the curb and flips over onto its back. Pierre stares tensely at her, then glances back through the rear window. In hospital, one of the drug mules has the bag of CPH4 surgically removed by Chang's men. The other two watch anxiously.
Sorry, sir. I don't feel good.
Chongjia shoots the German in the head and threatens the other.
I'm fine.
The bag of drugs is cleaned. Lucy continues through the city. Pierre looks alarmed when the police arrive.
I'm gonna tell them to stop following us.
Don't bother.
A car flips over behind them and spins through the air. A man reading a paper watches as two metal bollards lower down into the ground. He watches Lucy approach with a line of police cars behind her. The bollards start rising again. Lucy drives over them, scraping the bottom of a car, but the police cars crash straight into them. Two more flip right over the crashed cars and land on the market stalls. Lucy pulls up outside the hospital. In the room, Chang's surgeon removes the packet of drugs from the dead German's stomach. The detective walks back in and is quickly shot, although he takes a few of the men out as well. The noise sparks chaos, and the remaining drug mule makes a run for it. He's shot in the back and slides down the corridor where Lucy stops him with her foot. Pierre steps up behind her and pulls the gun. Chonjak grabs the bloody bag of drugs. In the corridor, a dozen of Jang's crew are pointing guns at Lucy. Chonjak puts two bags of CPH4 into a case and steps into the corridor.
Give me the case.
He says, kill her and get the pouch. Chang's men advance on Lucy as her percentage of brain capacity rises to 60. Chonjak stops suddenly and holds his head. He's walked into an invisible wall which he feels with his hand, alarmed. All of the weapons Chang's men have fly up to the ceiling. Chonjak tells them don't stand there, kill her. So they take up stances to fight hand to hand. Pierre watches from the door as Lucy calmly walks towards them. The first one swings at her, then floats up to the ceiling. The same happens to the second. None of them can get near her as she walks down the corridor, leaving them on the ceiling behind her. The last man flies sideways through a wall. Lucy steps up to Chonjak and calmly takes it from him as he watches her, unable to move. Pierre watches as Lucy walks up to him with the slim metal case.
Open it.
While he opens it, Lucy turns over the last dead mule and pushes her fingers through his stomach. She takes out the bag of drugs and puts it in the case with the other two, then closes it again.
Let's go.
I'm not sure I could be of any help for you.
Lucy walks back to Pierre.
Yes, you are.
What for?
She kisses him on the lips.
A reminder. Shall we go?
Pierre glances round at the men on the ceiling, then follows her. Lucy walks out of the hospital with the case as police officers run in. She gets into the car and waits for Pierre in the passenger seat. Pierre comes out and gets in the driver's side, looking shaken.
Where are we going?
Take the first left.
Okay.
Following the sat-nav, Pierre drives out of the hospital and stops at the main road before accelerating away. Jang's parked nearby and notices Lucy in the car. When a police officer tells them to move, Jang says to his driver, follow that car. At the university.
Professor?
Mary?
Lucy.
Ah, sir. Hey, you. You're in Paris?
Yes, I am.
Good, excellent. So, look, I am no longer at the hotel now. I have come to the university, where I've taken the liberty of calling together a few of my colleagues to discuss your case. Top men's in their field, and very trustworthy.
I trust you.
Oh, thank you. So, do you think you can meet us here at the university?
She walks into the room with Pierre.
I'm very pleased to meet you.
Likewise.
Captain Del Rio.
How do you do? Let me introduce you to my colleagues. This is Professor Cantier, neurosurgeon. Professor,
I know who everyone is.
Of course. Gentlemen, this is Lucy, the first woman to... as I mentioned earlier, Miss Lucy has, for reasons that remain a mystery to me, unlocked certain portions of her brain that offer access to previously unexplored cerebral zones. She has abilities.
Can you give us an example?
Your daughter, Gabrielle, age 6, died in a car accident. It was a blue car, leather seats, plastic bird hanging from the rearview mirror.
She takes her hand off the doctor's shoulder. Jang's sitting in his car outside the university. Chonjak pulls up behind him and runs over. Jang opens his window and Chonjak says, boss, 5 men down at the hospital. Sorry. Jang asks how many men left and he replies, I have about 25 with me. That damn girl, she doesn't give in, she's a witch. Jang says, I know that. I'll kill her myself.
There are men coming here. Can you secure the room? I need to stay focused.
Sure.
Police cars pull up outside. Chan gets out and says, speed it up. His men are openly arming themselves with machine guns from the boots of their cars.
How did you manage to access all this information?
Electrical impulses. Every cell knows and talks to every other cell. They exchange 1,000 bits of information between them per second. Cells group together, forming a giant web of communication, which in turn forms matter. Cells get together, take on one form, deform, reform. Makes no difference, it's all the same. Humans consider themselves unique, so they've rooted their whole theory of existence on their uniqueness. One is their unit of measure, but it's not. All social systems we put into place are a mere sketch. 1 + 1 = 2, that's all we've learned. But 1 + 1 has never equaled 2. There are, in fact, no numbers and no letters. We've codified our existence to bring it down to human size, to make it comprehensible. We've created a scale so that we can forget its unfathomable scale.
Chang's men approach.
But if humans are not the unit of measure, and the world isn't governed by mathematical laws, what governs all that?
Film a car speeding down a road. Speed up the image infinitely, and the car disappears. So what proof do we have of its existence? Time gives legitimacy to its existence. Time is the only true unit of measure. It gives proof to the existence of matter. Without time, we don't exist.
Lucy demonstrates as she speaks. Chang's men walk through security.
Time is unity.
The men in the room stand up in shock. Chang's men hurry through security. Chang tells them, search the whole building and find her. Pierre steps into the room.
We won't be able to hold her for much longer.
Time to go then.
A doctor takes out CPH4. One sets up a video camera while another mixes a solution from the blue crystals. A line's inserted into Lucy's arm.
Are you sure you need such huge doses?
I'm afraid you won't survive.
Some cells inside me will fight and defend their integrity till the very end. In order to attain the last few percent, I have to force it. To crack the cells open to their nucleus.
Chang's suited men stalk the empty university corridors with their guns raised.
All of this knowledge, Lucy. I'm not even sure that mankind is ready for it. We're so driven by power and profit. Given man's nature, it might bring us only instability and chaos.
They shoot two people.
Ignorance brings chaos, not knowledge. I'll build a computer and download all my knowledge in it. I'll find a way for you to have access to it.
Yeah. I just hope we will be worthy of your sacrifice.
Pierre and his men wait in the corridor. Four bags of CPH4 are ready to go into Lucy. Pierre steps out.
Nobody move!
His men and Jang's men face each other as the CPH4 enters Lucy's veins. She sits in a chair and stares into the lens of the video camera that's recording her. The police and Jang's men are in a standoff.
Do you understand English?
Lucy closes her eyes and tilts her head back as the bags empty into her. Suddenly, a bright stream of white light comes out of her mouth. Jang's men and the police start shooting at each other. Samuel and his colleagues watch as streams of light continue to fly out of Lucy, then suddenly stop. Jang gets his remaining men into a side room. Pierre's hit but alive. Lucy's percentage reaches 70, and her drip stand flies across the room. Jang leans out of the doorway and fires at the police. Thick veins form under Lucy's arm. As they travel down towards her hand, they darken, and her skin turns black. Thick black liquid comes out of her fingers and down to the floor. Merging together, it crosses the floor and climbs up a worktop.
What is she doing? She's looking for energy and matter.
She reaches the computer servers.
And she's trying to connect with our computers.
The thick black substance smothers the servers. Electric blue lights spark and flare within it as the tentacles cover two photocopiers, the video camera, and the worktops. The gunfight continues in the corridor, blowing holes in a statue. Lucy's black substance covers two more servers and pulls them down to the floor, completely destroying them. The shiny black substance rises up the walls of the room. Out in the corridor, Zhang calls Chongjia. He says, "I'm here, boss," and Zhang tells him, "Do something about them," pointing at the police. Chongjia replies, "Okay, boss," and Zhang tells his men to get ready. Pierre asks one of his injured men if he's okay, then tells a colleague to get a medic. Lucy reaches 80%. The room turns completely white.
Oh my God, what's happening?
Samuel and his colleagues look round the empty white space as the black substance rises up in front of them.
What is she making?
New generation computer, I presume.
The black spikes at the top of her creation glow red. In the corridor, Zhang shouts at Chongjia, who nods. Samuel turns away looking worried. Lucy reaches 90%. Zhang gives the order and his men step out into the corridor firing their guns. One of them picks up a bazooka, but the police shoot him and he throws it up in the air. Chongjia runs forward and catches it. He slides on his knees and fires a rocket at the closed doors of the room. The explosion knocks everyone to the floor. Lucy accelerates forward in her chair and is suddenly outside, looking up at the Eiffel Tower. Serene and calm, she stares up at the tower. Then the cells fuse in her bloodstream again, and she's propelled forward onto the top of some grassy cliffs. Still sitting in the university chair, she gazes out at the white cliffs and slowly turns to look at the blue sea stretching to the horizon. Another reaction inside her body propels her forwards again, across the sea and beneath the clouds to Times Square in New York. She sits in the busy square with people walking around her and holds up her hands, stopping everything. Lucy stares at the frozen image, taking it in. With a swipe of her hand to the right, she fast forwards time. She stops it again and swipes left, rewinding everything. Lucy stares in awe as time rewinds around her. The buildings dismantle and disappear. Light flickers over her face as night and day pass. Then, she's in Times Square with horse and carriages, a tram, men in top hats and ladies in dresses. She uses both hands to rewind again and the whole city disappears, replaced by trees, then an open prairie with five heavily decorated Native Americans sitting on horses in front of her. Lucy rewinds again and travels further back in time, through storms, red-hot lava, the rising and falling of mountains. When it stops, she's in a swamp, surrounded by strange lollipop trees. She looks up, as two dinosaurs fly over her. Up ahead, a foraging T-Rex turns round and runs towards her. Lucy quickly disappears. Now, the human-like ape drinking from the stream stops and looks at Lucy sitting in front of it on the office chair, in her black dress with bare legs. Lucy gently holds out her arm with one finger outstretched. The ape tentatively reaches out to touch her but pulls its hand away. Undeterred, it slowly reaches out again and touches the tip of its finger against hers. As they make contact, Lucy's pulled backwards, flying out away from the planet and into space. A line of curved sunlight creeps over the Earth's surface and reflects in her blue eyes. The spinning Earth speeds up until it becomes a blur. It turns black with glowing fires over its surface, and the burning meteors that hit it fly backwards as time reverses. The Earth and rocks fly backwards, breaking up and burning, sucked away into nothing. Lucy reaches 99%. At the university, Jang enters the white room, his bloody bandaged hand holding his gun out as he walks up behind Lucy, who's sitting in her chair, facing the black computer she built. Lucy watches the galaxy drift away, nothing but masses of thick colored gases that swirl and gather around a bright light. In the white room, Jang stands behind Lucy and points his gun at the back of her head. She stares ahead, watching a meteor shower rain down in space. Huge, burning rocks fall with the meteors, which begin to burn up as they approach the bright light and swirling mass of gases. As the meteor shower is sucked in, a violent storm of flashing lights erupts inside it. On the other side, black liquid substance erupts out of it. Everything starts to move faster, a fire burning like a raging furnace, traveling down a tunnel of light and clouds. Jang puts his gun closer to the back of Lucy's head. Multiple blue cells begin to converge and blend together. Blackness rises slowly up Lucy's face. Jang starts to squeeze the trigger. The tunnel spins faster, and the last two cells converge into one as Lucy's completely covered in black, and she reaches 100%. In the university room, which is mostly returned to normal, Jang shoots Lucy, but she's disappeared, and only her clothes remain. He angrily spins the empty chair round. He looks at the professors and asks, "Where is she? Where is she? Answer me, answer me." Pierre walks in behind him.
There's a pair!
Hey, you!
Pierre shoots Jang dead. He looks around the room, with the black computer structure still in place, and walks towards Jang. The professors watch him, hardly able to move.
Look, the computer, it's moving.
The black, living computer, glowing red inside, forms a horizontal spike with a memory stick on the end of it. Samuel looks up at it wide-eyed. He slowly reaches for the stick, hesitating once before plucking it out. The black computer turns to dust and disintegrates. Samuel looks at the memory stick.
Hey, where is she?
Pierre looks down at his ringing phone. The small screen flickers, then white letters on black read, "I am everywhere." Pierre looks at the professors, then uneasily around the room. Samuel holds the memory stick, his colleagues standing in a small group behind him, looking down on the room as Pierre turns his back on Jang, splayed in Lucy's chair, and walks out.
Life was given to us a billion years ago. Now you know what to do with it.
You were so far away. There was nothing I could do to stop you feeling blue. Anyway, Sister Ross, I need you now. 'Cause I got a feeling it's you and me again, waiting for the credits to end now and forever. With something in our hearts that if we were to stop would pull us away. There's nothing we can do to stop feeling this blue anyway.